John chapter 1. And we'll read a few verses there. Church is like a supermarket. You know, you go there and you get what you need. And we try to bring a balanced diet to our church. And we feel that everything that we need is in the supermarket. And we put it on offer. And we believe our people will be fed and strengthened by it. Now you get different kinds of supermarkets. You know, you have the price choppers, where they try to make a cheap deal and cut off the sacrifice. There's sacrifice involved in serving God. And just come with the cheap things on the shelves. So we're not one of those. We're not the price chopper church. Then you get all the other ones on this. Then you get Dominion. Dominion is a little more expensive, but they have a slogan there about freshness, I think. And it's a little more expensive, but there's Dominion there. And I think we're a Dominion church. We try to be a Dominion church. We don't try to be cheap and come with a cheap offer, but we go for the best quality, and we want to be people of Dominion. Amen. We're called to rule in life. And so, well, this is not an advertising. I'm not paid to say this. I just thought, you know, there's a message in everything. If Jesus will care to look around you, things will speak to you. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Of course, we know he's talking about Jesus here. He was in the beginning with God. Now, Jesus' life didn't start when he was born, as some believe on Christmas Day. He wasn't born on Christmas Day, but his life, he was with the Father before. He just became clothed in flesh when he was born, but he was there in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Isn't it amazing that today they still struggle to find the origin of man? And they try to, the latest science is that we come from jellyfish. So I don't know how you feel about that, but I feel no allegiance there, and I don't feel any identity there. I feel I've come from God. And that is what helps me on. Yes. But, you know, I tell you, the jellyfish background is not very helpful when things go wrong in life. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that's what we want to look at this morning. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Well, light only has meaning when you have trouble with darkness, isn't it? And of course, he's not talking about natural darkness here. He's talking about other darkness. He's not talking about the darkness of night here. He's talking about spiritual darkness. And there's a lot of things that we call darkness today. I made a short list. Maybe it's not all of it. But we know from the Bible that ignorance is darkness. We always say what you don't know can kill you. Ignorance is darkness. That is why Jesus spent most of his time on earth teaching. Some people said he healed most. No, he spent most of his time teaching people. Because teaching takes care of ignorance. And that is why teaching is so important to us. It helps us come out of the darkness into the light. And the Bible says, and I think we'll touch on that this morning, that if you walk in the light, you don't stumble. It's when you walk in darkness that you stumble. Ignorance is darkness. But Jesus came, and he was light, and his life was the light of men. We're going to look at that this morning. There's a whole thing that we can look into. But deception is darkness. Deception is the greatest form, the most dangerous form of ignorance. Because you think you're right, but you're wrong. You believe you are right, but you are wrong. That's deception. That's a dangerous thing. Oh, and I tell you, there's a lot of that today. Deception, and that with that goes lying, lies. There's a lot of lies, and lying is darkness, because truth is light. And the opposite of truth is lie. And lying is, and lies are darkness. And so we need to make sure that we walk in the light, so we walk in the truth, because in the end is a truth that sets us free, and Jesus is the truth and the life and the way. And so he's the only one that we can follow. There is nobody else. There is nothing else. You sometimes you get to a place where Jesus was with his disciples, and a lot of people were leaving him. And he asked them, don't you also want to go? And Peter said, no. Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's where you get to that point where you realize, look, this walk is tough, and we have our struggles, and things go wrong, but we have nowhere else to go. We have to stick to the truth. We have to stay with the truth. We have to stay in the light. There's nothing else we can do. You know, everything we do, we must do with eternity in mind. Everything you do must be done with eternity in mind, because everything you do will have an impact on where you will spend eternity. Now, I believe eternity was a gift of God to us, but the destiny, the eternal destiny, is our choice. And everything we do, and everything we say, and everything we believe will impact our eternal destiny. And so we must be careful what we do and what we don't do, and what we say and what we don't say, because we are busy building our eternal destiny every day, all day long. We're busy with our eternal destiny. Don't be fooled and don't be deceived by thinking, oh, it's only about today. If only we can have a good day today, that'll be great. No, you're busy sowing into eternity. That's what you're doing. And don't lose sight of that. Let's come back. Doubt is darkness. Because if you doubt, you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you're in darkness. And that darkness will come against you. And it will clamp down on you. And it will rob you of hope. And then you won't know where to go. Become despondent. So doubt and unbelief are darkness. Fear. Fear. The Bible talks about the fear of death. That everybody struggled with until Jesus came and broke the power of death. Now we don't have the fear of death in him. But the fear of death and fear is darkness. But the life of Jesus is our light. And when we look on him, and not only look on him, but when we receive his life into our lives, then we walk in the light, and the fear of death is gone. They cannot kill you because you're dead already. You already died to yourself. And now you've become a new creation, and Christ lives in you. Confusion. Confusion is darkness. People who are confused don't know where they're going. They try this and they try that. And today they think this, tomorrow they think that. And they keep on changing their minds. They're confused. And that is darkness. Because it will lead you into different directions all the time, and you'll make no progress at all. The goals that God put in your life will not come to pass because you're confused. You're walking in darkness. And you're stumbling. Then you have a whole list of things, depression, hopelessness, and all of those things. All of that is darkness. But now Jesus came, and in him was life. And his life was the light of men. And here's the law in verse 5. And here's the law. And this is the power of his life. It says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or did not overcome it. That's the law. That's the law. The law is like this. And it's a natural law, and it is a spiritual law. Light always overcomes darkness. Darkness never can overcome light. Never can. There's not enough darkness in the whole world to put out the light of one candle. That's the law. That is the law. And so when we have light, when we have the life of Christ, you are bound to overcome. Because of the law that is in work inside of you. And you don't have to be confused. You don't have to fear. You don't have to doubt anything. The light that is inside of you will cause you to overcome. Amen. That's the life of Christ. And he cannot be beaten down. He always overcomes. And every challenge that he met, he overcame. Every single one. And then the devil brought the last one that he used through the centuries, the fear of death. And he took him. And he thought he had him. But he lost. And Jesus rose and he broke the chains of death. Because light cannot be put out by darkness. And he overcame, not only for him, but for all of us. And now we are recipients of his life, and we are overcomers. Just by virtue of the law, that light always overcomes darkness. Praise God. It is the substance of that life that causes us to overcome. And I just want to drift off a little bit, talking about substance. Thank God that we're not deceived by empty words and empty things, religious stuff. But we have developed an appetite for substance. Yes. When we were children, I had a friend, he told me, we never buy bread from the shop. He said, we never eat shop bread. He says, it's like wind. There's nothing to it. He says, my mother bakes her own bread. And that's, you can eat one slice and you're full. He's talking about substance. There's substance. And that is what the Word of God is. There's a substance there. That can, when it feeds you, you'll be satisfied. There's a substance in the life of Christ that once you've discovered him, you'll be satisfied. You don't look around for anything else. And you can go around to these price chopper places and sit there and think, I am not satisfied. I did not receive, there's something lacking this day. There's something that I'm used to that I'm not getting. Amen. We believe in substance. Boy, I tell you, you want to eat something that will stick to your ribs for a while and not just disappear and feed you and strengthen you. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law of light expels the darkness. And that light was in his life. That was his life. That darkness is what the devil tries to put on people. His kingdom is called the dominion of darkness. And darkness is what he puts on people. Different forms of darkness. We went through some of that. Now, do you know why people are scared of the dark? There's something wrong with the darkness. That's why. If you can't see where you're going, you're scared. And bad things happen when you can't see. You can't see things coming. And children by nature are scared of the dark. There's something about darkness that is not good. And when people do evil things, and the Bible talks about that, they do it in darkness, in a way that you cannot see it. But John says that we are children of the light. And we do in the light. Because we are children of the light, and we live transparent lives because we're children of the light. Now, it's the life of Jesus that was the light of men. So when we talk about his life, let's look at his life. As he walked the earth, as a man, facing the same issues that we face, going through the same challenges that we face, and more. Because certain people, interestingly enough, the religious people, brought challenges to him all the time, trying to put him in a corner, trying to catch him out, trying to expose him for what he was not, and so on. All the pressure was always on him. But his life is what we're looking at. Every time he had the answer. Every time Jesus knew exactly what to do. And he tells us that in the Word. He says, I never speak unless I heard the Father speak. God always gave him the right answer. And he said, I never do anything unless I saw the Father do it. And so he got his information from heaven. He got his information from the throne room. And he always knew what to do. That is walking in the light. That is walking without stumbling. That is walking always having an answer, because the life of Christ is inside of you. Now, if we listen to the Holy Spirit talking to us, and he does, he talks to you all day long. Now, we don't always listen to him, but he's always talking. He's always sharing things with you. He's always trying to give you information, give you the answer, show you things. Jesus said, when he comes, he'll show you things to come. You'll know what's coming if you walk in the light. You'll know. But you need to have the life of Christ inside of you. You cannot live the carnal life and think you're walking in the light. No, you're walking in darkness. There's no twilight zone in the spiritual. It's darkness or light. There's nothing in the middle. And we need to make sure that we walk in the light. Because when we walk in the light, then we'll become the overcomers that God had in mind when he brought us out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That is what God had in mind. God did not have in mind a struggling church. He did not have in mind people who didn't know the answer, who didn't know how to win and overcome. He had in mind a new creation who was ready to always win. And that's why he put the life of Christ himself inside of us, so that we will become the overcomers that God had in mind for us. We cannot feed off the world all week long and think to become overcomers in this world. Because we feed on the world, you've got the stuff of the world on the inside. But when you feed on the Word of God, you have his truth on the inside, and you're connected to him. And when you're connected to heaven, just as Jesus was connected, you'll always know what to do. And you won't stumble. Now, Let's go through a few examples. I don't want to keep us too long today. John chapter 8. And verse 12. Now this is about the woman who was caught in adultery. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought her to Jesus. And of course, they expected of him, they tried to set him up. They expected of him to pull out the law of Moses, who said, you must be stoned. But they knew he couldn't do that because they were under Roman rule, and the Romans didn't allow that. So they tried to corner him there. And we know what happened there, that he bent down and he started writing in the sand. I don't know what he wrote. I've heard many explanations and speculations, and all of them sound good, but we don't know what he wrote. Verse 7 says, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life. See, we need to connect life with light, and light with life. It's the way you live that brings light. It's just the life you live. Now, what happened here? Darkness was descending on this woman. Death was on the horizon. But when the life of light showed up, life was manifested. Hope came, forgiveness came, cleansing came, and new life came. And all that happened was the light of his life expelled the darkness that surrounded that woman, that wanted to rob her life from her. But then he came, and life was restored to her. That is the life that is the light of men. When we go around, that is our attitude. Not to come down with the law, not to condemn people. We're not here to judge people. We are here to impart life. Why did Jesus say, you are the light of the world? He wanted us to live his life. And to go around sharing that life, imparting that light, imparting to those who are in darkness, and shining the light on the darkness, and the darkness will be expelled. Because darkness cannot remain standing in the light. It's gone. It is expelled right away. And we have that light. We have the truth from the Word of God. And we have the Holy Spirit on the inside. And let me tell you, you know what to say when you have to say it. If you listen to Him, you will have every answer to every situation. You just need to listen to what He speaks to your heart. Then you'll know what to do every single time. He's with us. He's with us. Let's look at another one, John chapter 9. And this is with this blind man. Now, we know that blindness is darkness. Now, there is a spiritual darkness and there's a physical darkness. I think this man had both. He walked in darkness. His whole life was darkness. He never saw the light. John chapter 9, verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He was telling two stories here, isn't it? He was talking about this man's darkness of blindness, but he's also touching on spiritual blindness here, spiritual darkness. And that's why they connected his blindness with his parents' sin or his sin, maybe. They didn't know. They thought sin was the problem here. Verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So we went washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. Because he never saw him, eh? When the light of his life came into the life of this man, his whole life changed. All about this blind man's life changed when Jesus showed up. Now, you know, we live in a world full of needs. We live in a world filled with needs, darkness. And now we are the light of the world. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. He even said, you don't light a lamp and then put a bushel over it. Because that's darkness, eh? We are here to shine the light. He said, a city that's on a hill cannot be hidden. It's there for everybody to see. That's us. He's talking about us. He's talking about the church. Now we have that light. And we need to take that light and shine it in the darkness. And that is the life that you live. He's talking about life and light. That is the life that we live. And that life that we live is the light of men. How does it work? They'll come and ask you questions. Now, we know it's difficult. You know, sometimes I know it's hard to talk to people and so on. But when you shine light on their need and their darkness, they'll be attracted to the light. Nobody sits in darkness and sees the light, will just sit there. They're going after the light. Because life is a light is attractive. And we are to live that life that is attractive to the world that we live in. See, that's why, you know, when people begin to equate poverty with good things, then I don't know how they get things together in their hearts and minds and some other things, you know. They'll tell you all kinds of, well, you know, God put that sickness on you because he's trying to teach you a lesson. I don't know who will be attracted to that kind of a God. Who will come running when that kind of a God shows up? I don't know. But when you stay, when you receive healing, and when you walk in healing, and divine health, and people understand and they begin to see that the blessing of God is always upon your life, now you've got something to share. And that is the life of Christ. He never went without. People try to point out that Jesus was poor on earth. I've never seen that anywhere in the Bible. He always had what he needed. All his needs were met. always. And he had abundance to give. And Judas kept on stealing it on the side, out of the money bag. There was money there. He was always, all his needs were always met. That is the life of Christ. That is how we lived. And that is how we shine our light when we walk close to God and all our needs are met. We have something to share. When I tell you, I begin to see what's going on in the world with the high gas prices and things don't look good. Food prices go up. All the prices go up. And things look dark out there. Let me tell you something. Things don't look good out there. But don't forget, we live in God's economy. And we are people of faith. And we are not moved by what we see. We are moved by what we believe. And don't you listen to all of that. Don't you listen to that. Now you need to listen to what God is saying. You're going to get answers from God. And He will help you out. We are not going to go down because of this. David says, if 1,000 fall on my side and 10,000 to my other side, it will not come to me. And now we need to take that stand and we'll say, even though things become dark out there, we are going to be light and we are going to be a witness and we are going to be a beacon of hope, because that is what this world does not have. Do you know what's moving the gas prices up? Fear. Fear drives the stock market. This world is driven by fear, and fear is darkness. And it's time for God's people to show up and be the light that we're called to be and made to be. We need to make a decree, and I'm saying this today, we are not going to go down, we're not going to go with less because of high gas prices, we are going to grow. God's blessing is going to grow His people, and we will shine the light. And when people complain, don't complain with them. You stand there at the pump and pump and pump, and the guy next to you complains about the price. Don't you complain with him. No. Because now you're in cahoots with the devil. Now's your time to be light. He's talking darkness. Now you must talk light. Yes. Say, well, you know, we'll be okay. Yes. We'll win. We'll get through. It's not going to be that bad. And give them some hope. They'll think you're a little... But that's fine, they think it anyway. So let's use the opportunities now that darkness is coming. Boy, I tell you, this world is just coming apart big time. I don't want to be a gloom and doom preacher, but I want to tell you, it doesn't look good out there. But remember, we're citizens of heaven. Don't you feel bad about this world coming to an end? We are God's people. Our citizenship is not of this world. We're in heaven. And now is the time to understand that very well and live that. And this is how we become light in this world that we live in. Be a beacon of hope. When you step into a situation, like Jesus walked past this blind man, he became light unto him and changed his life. And when we step into dark situations, let us be light where we are. And begin to expel the darkness so that life can come to people. It is our life that will be their light. It is not what you say. Everybody's talking. Everybody's talking. They don't listen to anybody anymore. But a life that is above everybody else who is caught in darkness, that speaks louder than anybody can shout. And we are called to live that life. Paul comes, he comes to a place, boy, and I tell you, we need to go there, where he says, I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. I wonder if we're ready for that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. And we're going to close with this. If then you were raised with Christ, you need to be able to say, that's me. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Don't focus on this world. The Bible says this world is passing away. And the lust of it, everything it has to offer, it's passing away. Don't focus on this world. Don't focus on this world. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's your treasure. Set your mind on things above. Think on things above, not on things on the earth. So while you're standing at the gas pump, don't think on things on the earth. Just fill up the car and go. While you're standing there, set your mind on things above. The Lord is my provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Begin to meditate on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't curse the pump when you see the telly running up. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. We ought to say, well, that's me. He's talking about me now. You died. Now, if you are religious, you didn't die. You just put a religious jacket on, that's all. You're not dead. The flesh is still alive. You have a religious jacket on, but you're still alive. That's not what he's talking about. He says you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's who you are. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears. So Christ is your life, eh? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, our lives, our carnal lives are dead. We cannot reason like carnal people. We cannot think like carnal people. We cannot talk like carnal people. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And Christ is not moved by higher food prices and higher gas prices and things that happen in the world. His life is not moved by any of those things. He never was when he walked the earth, and he never is now. He's above those things. And our life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, don't be moved by what you see. There will always be something that tries to move you. There will always be something that tries to put some darkness inside of you, some fear, some doubt, some depression, some confusion. But don't be confused about who you are. You are Christ's. And Christ lives in you. Paul says, I am dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. He burned the bridges, boy. I tell you, there is nothing left. Nothing. He burned the bridges behind him. The world doesn't want him, and he doesn't want the world. That's the life of Christ. And that is the light of the world. Why is it such a struggle in the church today? Because we live carnal lives in the church. And we wonder why things don't tally up. But let me tell you, if we are a congregation where we have died to ourselves and we have the life of Christ inside of us, it'll be a different story. And that is what the world is looking out for. Not a bunch of religious fanatics, but people who have life inside of them. People who have the goodies to deliver what they believe. Not just cheap talk. But we can do what we say. Paul says, I came to you with demonstration. Not just talking, with demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. That's the life of Christ he's talking about. And that is the life, that's the light of this world that we live in. Jesus came to give us that life. Let's not settle for anything less. God has put so much inside of you. No wonder the devil tries to cover it with darkness, put a bushel over you so the world won't see you. But we have come to be the light. And we need to make that confession inside of us. I'm the light of this world, and I'm going into this world. I'm going to shine that light in my home. I'm going to shine that light where I go. That is the life of Christ, and expel the darkness. We activate that spiritual law that says light always wins. Light always overcomes. Nothing can put out the light. Light is always a winner. And that is who we are. We are winners because we are light in a dark world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. Thank you that you've thought so much of us, that you've hidden your treasure inside of earthen vessels. And although on the outside we look like everybody else, on the inside we carry the light of this world, the life of Christ. And we have the ability built in to us to expel darkness where we go. The darkness of confusion, the darkness of deception, the darkness of the carnal mind. We have the ability inside of us to expel the darkness to your glory. And we manifest that light for your name's sake in this world. Amen. To do it. Just put your trust in Him to do it. His way. It is when obedience becomes the most important thing. More important than our dignity and our own position and the stuff we like and our own preferences. It's about obeying God in faith. That's how victory comes. That is how victory comes. Yes. Now, let's close your eyes. Every eye closed. We're not looking around. Don't worry about the person next to you now. Now I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the person next to you. I'm talking to you. I don't know what God put inside of you. I have no idea. You know. You know. I don't know what you're struggling with. You know, and God knows. But this morning, I'm here to tell you that God can do something for you that you never thought could be possible. God can cut through your circumstances. He can cut through your wrong thinking and your wrong expectations and your own desire for dignity and honor and all of that stuff. He can cut through all of that and touch you at the point of your need. He can do it. And raise you up. And use you as a testimony of His power. And show the world what He can do with somebody who was down there in the dust, that nobody had any hope for. And raise you up and put an authority inside of you. And a wisdom and a strength and a power and faith that will overcome anything that the devil can bring against you. God can do it. All things are possible. There's nothing impossible to God. All things are possible. Now, if you believe this morning, if you are willing to go on this journey with Him, and while every eye is closed, we're not going to look around. It's not about other people now. If that is you, I want you to quickly stand just in your seat. Just stand up.
Don't worry. Don't worry now. It's not about being dignified and all of that. It's not. This is about breaking through. This is about breaking away. Breaking away from the opinions of people. Breaking away from your own opinions and your own self-esteem. Just breaking away from all of that stuff. And becoming the person that God made you to be. People are standing. I'm standing too. We're going to trust God today. We're going to trust God today. Our hope is on Him alone. Our eyes, we tear away from our circumstances and our own selfish ambitions and desires, and we focus on Him alone. Today, that's the only thing that counts. That's the only thing that counts today, is breaking through with God. Breaking through with God. Thank you, Lord. The Word of God is able. The Word of God is able to do more than we can ever dream or think. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty power. Thank you for your mighty power. I want to join my faith to yours this morning. And I would like for you to just come to the front. I just want to just quickly pray with you, just a very short prayer. Let's create an atmosphere of breakthrough. An atmosphere of breakthrough. Bless you, Lord. All things are possible. All things are possible. We're at that place now. We're at that place. We have to dip in the Jordan. Muddy old stream. Doesn't matter. We're at that place where we need to take that step. And take that step of faith right now. Now this morning, I'm going to lay my hands on you, but you're not receiving from me. You're not receiving. Don't have your eyes on me. You'll be disappointed. Your eyes should be focused on God now. Just look deep inside of you. God's speaking there. Inside of you, there's a stirring. Now that's Him. There's a tug at your spirit. That's Him. That's Him. He's ready to do it for you. He's ready to do it for you. Thank you, Lord. You do it in Jesus' name.